Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
Lord, yes, Lord, Lord, thank you. Y'all think I'm just being spiritual. I'm really just testing the mic out, so, you know. Y'all doing good today? Yeah, yeah, look around. You think y'all look good today? I always say you look good, but, everybody stand up. Take a peek around. There's this unknown, like this unspoken rule in church, like you're not allowed to turn around and look in the row behind you. Good, everybody turn around, look around. Now, those in the back, don't turn around or we can't see you. Go look around. Look at someone and say, "You look marvelous." Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, point at someone. It's okay. You're allowed to point right now. Somebody point at Sam, please. Tell him he looks good today. He needs some encouragement. All right, all right. Go ahead and sit down for a minute. In talking to the Lord this morning, he said, I want to show you John's gospel, specifically the third chapter, and more specifically the 16th verse, in a way I've never showed it to you before. But to do that, we've got to look a little bit before that. There are basically three ruling spirits on the earth, both of the kingdom of God and of darkness. There are basically three ruling spirits. We can narrow everything down into one of these ruling spiritual entities. And I'm speaking of in the spirit realm. But here's the interesting thing about the spirit realm. The spirit realm bleeds over into the realm of what we know, the carnal realm, the realm of the five senses, you know. When man sinned, God made a separation between heaven and earth. We know that. We've talked about that. Heaven being the realm of the spirit, right? Really, heaven is anything and everything that there is, except for that place that has been rebellious towards God, and we call that the earth. That the earth has been affected because of the sin of man. Now, why was man able to affect the earth? Because God gave man dominion over the earth. He gave him rule over the earth. Okay, does that make sense? And so, and because of that, the earth has been subject to a counter kingdom, or a kingdom that is a dysfunctional kingdom. I mean, and that's why we see natural disasters. That's why we see poverty. That's why we see every foul thing that is occurring on the earth is occurring because it has been subjected to a rule that is not the rule of God. And we call that the kingdom of the earth, or just the earth, the carnal realm, right? So three ruling spirits, basically. The three ruling spirits over the earth is number one is Holy Spirit. Everyone say Holy Spirit. Now, we know that is the spirit that is here on the earth. That is God on the earth. That is the spirit that guides us. We see Holy Spirit in the Old Testament to some extent, but we see it, Holy Spirit become very noticeable in Jesus' baptism. And then in Acts chapter 2, we see Holy Spirit released on men. And where there is no hindrance of Holy Spirit's engagement, no limitation of Holy Spirit's engagement with men. By men, I'm not speaking of gender. You all know that, right? Okay, so you have Holy Spirit, and then you have the political spirit. And the political spirit has its minions under it, and then you have the spirit of religion. Now, the spirit of religion, you know, normally when we talk about religion, we're talking about something that we would consider to be spiritual or good. But religion, when it is apart from relationship, is something that actually creates more dysfunction on the earth instead of less. Are you with me? I'll say that again. Religion that is apart from relationship actually creates more dysfunction on the earth and not less, because it separates man into into trying to follow God in the external or in the behavior or what's on the outside. How many of you know that never works? When what's on the outside doesn't match what's on the inside, there's a separation and it never works. Did you ever, how many like fake people? Let me see your hands. Come on, put them up big and high if you love fake people. I love them, but I don't like them. Are you with me? How many dislike fakiness? Let me see your hands. Yeah. And all right, now put your hands down. Now, if you ever have been fakey, put your hand up. I have. I people say, well, so how do you like my cooked carrots? they're good. I did that one time. I did that. We were at what we call a covered dish at the Methodist Church. My pastor at that time, his wife, Mrs. Smith, sweetest lady in the world, classic United Methodist pastor's wife. You know, the black shoes with the big clunky heels and a dress and, you know, her hair pulled up into a bun. Just the sweetest lady in the world. And we had this covered dish, and she saw that I didn't get any of her cooked carrots on my plate. She's like, oh, Brian, you didn't get any of my cooked carrots. And I said, no, Mrs. Smith, I don't really care for cooked carrots that well. Oh, well, let me get you some. Is it like, she acted more like a crack cocaine dealer, right? And so she brings me some of her cooked carrots, and she puts them on my plate. She doesn't even, like, just puts them on my plate. And she stands there like this. Dude, I lied. I lied through my teeth. I sinned. It's true. I took a bite, and she's like, oh, so don't you like them? And I'm like, I'm about to sin. Yes, I like them. Now, let me tell you, your sin will find you out. It's true. I guarantee it will. And listen, you will pay far more for sin than you ever intended. Sin will take you further than you ever thought you should go, cost you more than you ever thought you should pay, and keep you longer than you ever thought you should be. Because every covered dish from that point on, she brought me my own portion of cooked carrots. And she would stand there and watch me eat them. Sin has its price. Come on, somebody. Her and Pastor Smith have both passed away. That's why I can talk about them behind their back now. Oh, come on, somebody. She's like, but Jesus, he lied. My sin is sufficient. Okay, all right. I mean, my blood, my grace is sufficient, not my sin. See what's happening? I'm being pulled by the dark side. Oh, Lord Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. I did that one time I was preaching, and I said, and Satan loves you. And everyone goes, and I'm wondering, I said, what's wrong with you people? Don't you know the truth? And they said, you said Satan loves you. I did not. And Janice is sitting there and says, yes, you did. Like, oh, Lord Jesus, help me, sanctify my tongue. So religion. Religion's all about rules. Without relationship. And it corrupts people. The political politics itself is not bad. Politicians are not bad. Because you're a politician does not make you bad. Stop saying that every politician is corrupt. You're speaking a curse out of your mouth. And you, the redeemed, when you say so, you're actually empowering darkness. Stop doing that. You can say, well, corrupt politicians are corrupt, because that's true. But not every there are righteous politicians. I know some. I know some from a distance, and I know some up close. I were one. Come on, somebody. I ran for school board, and I was on the school board for a number of years. And that's a very, very, very low-level politician, but it's true. You're involved in the political process. What is corrupt is when government tries to control people rather than the Spirit of God control people. Are you with me? When it exerts a manipulation of people through being governed, that's evil. when religion exerts an influence or a manipulation of people based on rules, that's evil. God never intended for either one of those. He intended us to follow the Holy Spirit. They that are led by the Spirit of God are known as sons of God. That's the ultimate quest or the ultimate purpose for each of us, that we are known as sons. Again, no gender meant there. We are known as sons of God. Everyone say sons of God. That's what God desires for us. And so Jesus is about to confront that whole political religious spirit, both of them at the same time. And turn, if you would, in your Bibles to John chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures this morning. So kind of put your finger in John chapter 3, verse 1, and follow along. It says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees," say Pharisees. This is both the religious and governmental order of the Jewish people. His name was Nicodemus, say Nicodemus. And he was a ruler of the Jews. And later on, Jesus, he indicates about the rulers of the Jews. In John chapter 7, verse 26, he says, "Look, he is speaking publicly, and they are saying nothing to him. The rulers do not really know that this is the Christ, do they?" And so you have to understand that this is Nicodemus of the highest order of all the Jewish people. The Jewish people are known as what? The people of God, right? How many of you know you can be known as of God but may not be following God? Just because you've got the letters after your name doesn't mean you are named by his name. Are you with me? Nicodemus is of the highest religious order. More religion does not get you in a greater relationship. A greater relationship gets you in a greater relationship. Are you with me? Does that make sense? And so here, Nicodemus is staring at Jesus, kind of blinking at him, because he doesn't know who's sitting across from him. So in verse 2 of John chapter 3, it says, "This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born,'" everyone say born, "born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The word born means to be brought into. When we were born of our mothers, we went from within our mother and brought into the world. Are you with me? And so the process of being born is a process of being brought into. And what Jesus said, he's speaking to the highest religious order of the people of God, and he's saying that you can't even see the kingdom of God unless you're born in a different way than what you've been born. And Nicodemus, rightly so, pushes back. And he said, wait a minute. How can a man be born when he's old? He can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? At least he was smart enough to ask the question and not simply make an objection. God doesn't mind your questions as long as you're really wanting an answer and not providing a defense. I find sometimes that when we ask questions, the questions that we're asking is a shield to keep us from eating of what Jesus is serving us. Jesus goes on and explains. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water," say water, "and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit." Now I used to think it meant, and I've taught this before, I believe incorrectly, that being born of water is when we're naturally birthed. You know, we're in water, right? When we're in our mother's womb. And the water breaks, and we exit the womb, and so we're born in water. That's what I thought it meant. But remember, never interpret the Bible based on your understanding. Interpret the Bible based on the Bible. Let the Word of God interpret itself. Find where something is talked about elsewhere in the Word of God, preferably the first mention of it, because in studying the Word of God in seminary, they teach you that it's very important how you interpret the Scriptures, that there is a very specific, very orthodox way to interpret Scripture that will get us all to the same place. And what is that place? See, Scripture is never for your own private interpretation. Well, I think it means this. Well, who cares what you think? The question is, what did God intend? That's the important thing. Are you with me? No part of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, the Scripture says that prophecy is never for private interpretation. In other words, you don't get to say what you think it means. What you get to do is find out what God means. And Holy Spirit will always lead you to that. Are you with me? Oh, now see, that ruffles some people's feathers because they don't really, I mean, come on, let's be honest. You really don't want what God has to say, because if you believed it the way God intended it, then you'd have to live it the way God intended it to be lived. Now he just crossed the line. He was nice, Pastor Till, right there. That felt good. All right, so how did God intend it? Well, let's look at the Scripture and see what it says. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul's writing about this. He says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." Men, listen to me. Love your wives. It does not say men love your wives when they love you. It says men love your wives and give yourself up for your wife. Give up your demands. Give up your desires. Give up those things that you want and love her in the way she needs to be loved. Come on, somebody. This is not an easy saying. Because we want to love when we're loved. But that's not what it says, does it? But then he goes on, and he's comparing husbands and wives to Jesus and his bride called the church, right? And he says that he gave himself up for her, verse 26, so that he might sanctify her or bring her into the condition she's supposed to be in, having cleansed her. Now, how does he cleanse her? By the washing of water with the word. That he might present to himself the church, the bride, in all of her glory. Now listen to me. Let's not make glory a mystical thing. And we sang it today. All of the glory, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours. Do you know what that means? Glory literally means the manifestation of God's opinion. In other words, what you're saying to God, God, whatever you desire me to be, I'm going to become that, and out of that, I give you glory. Because it's you in me, the hope of the manifestation of his opinion, or the hope of glory. In other words, I'm saying to you, God, I want to become everything that you want me to be, and I'm not holding on to my life. I'm giving up my life to you, and you cause my life to be formed in the way that you want it to be formed, not the way that I want it to be formed. I let go of all of that, and I take up everything you want from me. All of the glory, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours. I'm willing to be everything you want me to be. I'm yours, I'm yours, I'm yours. Shape me, mold me, make me, change me. Help me to throw down my opinions and my past, all my idols that I have of the way I think things should be, I throw down in Jesus' name, and I take up everything you want from me. all of the glory. It's yours, it's yours, it's yours. But listen to me. That's not the way we live. We want to be God's God and tell him what we want. I want to make myself in my own image that I think I should be. Here's what I want. And that's the very first sin that ever took place on the planet. Adam and Eve are in the garden, and there's the place called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In other words, I have the knowledge, or I determine what is good and what is evil. In other words, I am saying what I choose to do and what I don't choose to do. Very first sin that ever took place and got us in this mess. And God's still trying to root that thing out of us. But what I'm willing to do, if I really am walking with him, and I'm saying everything I am, everything I'm about, all the opinions I have of myself, all the ideas of what I think my marriage should be, my children should be, all of those things I throw down. And I ask you, Lord, to show me what you want. Because I want your glory. I want the manifestation of your opinion. I want what you think my children should look like. I want what I remember. And I am so grateful for healing. I am so grateful that God heals and that God changes things. I remember scratch that. I'm sorry. I don't like doing that. Holy Spirit said, no, don't share that now. And I have to do what he wants me to do, not what I think I should do. So the bride is cleansed. Everyone say cleansed. So we're talking about we want to give God glory. How many in this place want to give God all the glory? Let me see your hands. Put your hands up if you, keep them up, put them up really high if you believe, stand up if you want to give God all the glory. Stand up. Okay. All right. You can sit back down. Now what you're saying to God is that I want to go from where I am, say where I am, to where you want me to be, right? Now how does that happen? Well, he says how that happens. You have to be born of water, or you have to come into water. But what does that mean? What does that mean? We're baptized? Well, listen, baptism is the first step of that. Water baptism that we're going to be doing next week. Next week?
Yes.
Next week is the first step of that. And so what we're doing when we're water baptized, it's kind of the outward picture of what's going on the inside. We take our bodies and we put under the water and we say we baptize you, or we bring you into the fullness of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we bring you up out of the water. So we've washed you. You've been washed with the water of the Word, right? But that's just a picture. That's not the completeness. What happens is we begin in that moment, we begin a journey of being washed with the water of the Word. Daily, I am washed, I am cleansed. Listen, how many of you don't bath ever? I was hoping no one raised their hand. I've walked past every one of you, and I feel certain that every one of you bathe, right? Why do we bathe? We bathe, why? Because just living in this earth, the filth of the earth gets on us, right? How many like being dirty? There might be a couple here. Yeah, Jackie, you didn't raise your hand. That's all right. Okay, all right. All right. She used to love to get dirty. You like getting dirty, Jake? Oh, no, Lena does. Okay, that's all right. I don't mind getting dirty, right? But I don't stay that way, right? Look, living in this earth, the dust, that's in, I mean, there, we were the other day, we were in the bedroom, and there was light, real bright sunlight shining in our room, and listen, Janice keeps, if you've ever been to our house, she keeps a pretty tight ship. She keeps our house pretty clean. But there's still, even all the cleaning she does, the filters we have on our furnaces, all that stuff, we still got all these little floaties going on in the sunlight. You could see the dust. It's not intended. We've worked hard to get rid of it, but the truth is it's still there. And when you walk around, it gets on you. And if you go long enough, you get funky. You start to smell because of it, right? Whether it be your own sweat that attracts it and bacteria that isn't part of your body, right? Is bacteria like, did God create your body to have bacteria? Not the bad kind, right? That make you smell and so on. No. And it has to be all washed off, right? Does that make sense? You can't be who you're supposed to be. How many of you know that if you don't bath regularly, you can become repulsive to people? The same is true in the spirit. If we're not being washed regularly by the Word of God, then we become repulsive to the world. Because the world's wanting a sweet-smelling aroma. I was in the mall, and I was walking in the mall, and I was actually there to get something for Janice. This has been years ago when there were still such a thing as malls. Are there still malls? Okay, not many. Is Westmoreland Mall still operating? All right, I was in Westmoreland Mall, and I was in the upper level. I was walking along the one side, and I was just kind of walking along, and all of a sudden, I smelled something, and it smelled just like my wife. It's this perfume that she has that I'm telling you, it's that perfume. You know, the one she wears when we go out on a date. You know, not the fake one, the real one, right? And I'm telling you, like, I'm walking, and all of a sudden, I smelled that, and I stopped. I literally stopped, and I'm looking for my wife. Because, you know, smell is powerful, right? And I looked, and there's these two ladies. They're about 75,000 years old. And they're walking. And I said, ladies. And I kind of scared them. They turned around. And I said, which of you is wearing, and I named that perfume. And the one lady went, oh, that's me. I said, oh, it smells lovely. I said, have a great day. And they were kind of giggling walking down the hall. Now listen. In the same way, then smells can be repulsive, smells can also be attractive. See, when you're washed with the water of the Word, now say, well, how do I get washed with the water of the Word? Do I read the Bible because the Bible is the Word of God? Listen, that's part of it, a crucial part of it. Like Debbie talked about today, that constant devotion, listen, that's just a tool to help you study the Word of God. The Word of God's the important thing, not constant devotional. But constant devotional helps a lot. I use it every day. My kids, my wife, use it every day. Why? Because we believe we should be in the Word, and that's part of it. But listen, the Word of God is not the Bible. That's a part of it. That's the written expression of the Word. So if the Bible isn't the Word of God, then what is the Word of God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Jesus is the Word. Now, here's what you have to see. You're being washed by the water, right? Born into water, and born into spirit. What is the word in the Greek for spirit? It's the word pneuma. Everyone say pneuma. Now, pneuma is the word, is where we get our word pneumatic. Now, Mr. Lewandowski that's here, if I said pneumatic, what does that refer to? Something powered by air, right? Or wind. So what are we seeing? We're seeing that we have to be brought into the water, which is Jesus, and we have to be brought into the Spirit, which is Holy Spirit. And when we're brought into those two things, when we're born into those two things, we can function in this world, but not of this world. We affect this world by another world. We're seated in two different places. We're seated in this world because of our natural bodies. Our flesh gives us the ability to operate on the earth. The moment our flesh dies, we can no longer operate in this realm. But when we have our flesh, we're able to operate in this realm. But how many of you know that God never called you to operate only in this realm? He called you to operate from another realm to this realm. Why? Because they're separate at the moment. And the whole idea is that as we operate from this other realm, the realm of the Spirit or the realm of heaven, when we operate from that realm to this realm, every time we do that, we're taking some of this atmosphere and releasing into this atmosphere. Just like that woman walked past me and I caught an odor of her atmosphere, it changed my atmosphere. It stopped me in my tracks. I responded to an odor from something else. I believe this. I was at the mechanics the other day. Had a problem with my truck. And there was another guy who was there to get some work done. And he was limping very severely. And the Lord said to him, if he'll allow me to, I'll heal him. And so, you know, mechanics oftentimes have a whole different language system, right? Kind of indicative of to which realm they're in, right? And so it wasn't quite the realm of heaven. And I heard from heaven, but it was kind of awkward releasing what I just heard in heaven and releasing it on the earth. It just felt a little awkward. Have you ever felt that way? God told you to pray someone, or God told you to do something that you know is from heaven, but you got to do it on the earth, because it doesn't do any good if it stays in heaven, because we don't release it on the earth. If we release the word of God on the earth, what happens is it accomplishes what it's supposed to and does not return empty or void, right? So I saw this guy, and he's limping, and I said, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And he's like, yeah. I said, hey, listen, I see you're limping. I said, God speaks to me sometimes about people, and God told me if you'll allow me to pray for you that he'll heal your ankle. I said, it's your ankle, right? He said, yeah. He said, I fell off a roof. And the mechanic's like, oh, man, you know, and I could see he was going to get distracted real quick. The enemy will always try to distract and give you a way out. So you don't have to release what you just received from heaven. He'll make it easy for you not to, and you have a good excuse. But you've got to be willing to press through the awkward moment, because there's a confrontation that's taking place. It's two atmospheres that are colliding. And how many of you know, if you watch the evening news and you see the weather guy on there, he talks about two fronts, a high pressure front and a low pressure front. And where those two come together, there's always a storm that's taking place. There's a storm but that's intended. Because God doesn't mind disrupting what's going on the earth so that heaven can come. And so this man, he comes over to me, and I said, listen, would you allow me to pray for you? I believe God's going to heal your ankle. If you'll allow me to pray for you, I said, can I put my hand on your shoulder? He said, well, yeah, please. And so I began to pray for him, and I watched over here. And you know what that mechanic did that was walking in a different atmosphere? He went like this. He bowed his head to an authority greater than him without even knowing it. I'm not even sure if he knew that's what was going on. But I'm telling you, when you release heaven to earth, you change atmosphere. You stop people in their tracks. They'll catch a smell of heaven, and it'll cause them to freeze. And they'll even sometimes ask, what is that? Because they've been made to smell heaven. They were birthed in heaven. You understand they were created in the mind of God. In heaven itself, God created you. Before the beginning of time, in his mind, he created you. You've been made to smell heaven. You've been made to walk in heaven. You've been made to be immersed in the fullness of the water and spirit. It's how you've been made. It's what you're for. Because all the earth that is under so much dysfunction right now is groaning for the revealing of you, the sons and daughters of God, that walk from heaven into earth and release the sound and the smell and the acts of heaven on the earth and transform the earth into what God fully intended her to be, returning the earth to the kingdom of God. Jesus said that. He said, the kingdom of God is right here. It's at hand. Or may I say it differently? The kingdom of God is in your hand to be released. When you sit before him, Jesus said this. See, we see Jesus as the water of the word who washes you. That Jesus himself is the one who washes you. But how does he do that? Here's how he does it. He told us how he does it. He said, I sit before God. I sit before the Father. And whatever he says, that's what I say. Whatever I see him doing, that's what I do. Jesus himself was the first one. He went before us. He actually was seated with God before the beginning of time. Look, I'll prove it to you. In verse 11 of John chapter 3, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify. Because, see, he's pushing back against Nicodemus. Nicodemus saying, how is all this supposed to take place? This is so fantastic. And he's saying to Nicodemus, listen, he said, we know what we see. We testify. You don't accept our testimony. If I told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? In other words, if you don't get washed of the water, if you don't become born again in the water, you can't be born again in the spirit. In other words, if Jesus does not become the Lord of your life, the one who washes you continually, then you can't get Holy Spirit, who will show you, reveal all things to you. How can I tell you about earthly things when you won't even receive me? This is Jesus standing before Nicodemus. If you won't even receive me as Lord of your life, how are you going to receive Holy Spirit who will show you every heavenly thing? Yes. He said, no one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. He said, behold, I stand before you. I am the door. I'm the gate to the Father. No one can come to the Father except through me. Verse 16. This is a summation of this whole thing. Jesus said, look, let me boil it down for you. For God so loved the world. He's so in love with you all. He loves all of his creation. And you're the pinnacle of creation. He loves you more than anything else in this whole universe. Because he loves you that much, he gave his only son. So that whoever believes in the Son, whoever is willing to make him Lord of their life and hence daily be washed by him. Do you understand there's no difference between being ruled by Jesus and being washed by him? The problem is we've been so independent in our thinking. Whenever we talk about being ruled by someone, our independent spirit begins to rise up and we get that little dog syndrome going on and like, raw, 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 raw. Nobody tells me what to do. Raw, 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 raw. Did you ever see a little dog? Yeah. Like the big dogs come around. And that little dog like, and that big dog just sitting there, really. I'm sure it was photoshopped, but there was this big dog, and this little dog was sitting there, and it was looking up at the big dog, and that little dog just went chomp and swallowed the whole big dog. I was like, I know I probably shouldn't feel this way, but it felt so right. I mean, when we're telling God no, we're like the little dog. I mean, do you realize he could swallow us up? Do you realize with a snap of his finger, all of time can be turned to dust? No, no, God. No, I won't do it. Do you realize how ridiculous you look to those that know? And I know, most of you in this place are born again. Most of you call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Most of you daily are washed by Jesus himself. You're ruled by Jesus. And because you're willing to be ruled by Jesus, Holy Spirit leads you into all revelation. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. But I'm begging your indulgence for a minute, because there are a lot of people that are catching my voice right now. A lot of people that are watching right now, that Jesus is not their Lord. And I'm not making fun. I'm not making light. Please hear me. I've been sitting where you're at right now. I barked at God. I told God no. I wanted to do things my way. I didn't want to bow my knee to Jesus until someone shared his love with me. Until someone said, he's not looking to rule you. He's looking for a relationship with you. See, the amazing part is we call it rule because it is. But the truth is that it really is about relationship. It's about him wanting a very deep relationship. And I let him wash me with his rule because I know he loves me and I know he has my very best in the things that he would tell me to do and the things I'm obedient to him in. Does that make sense?
Yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave his son so that whoever believes in him won't perish, but instead have the kingdom kind of life that God intended for them, that they would walk in the glory of God. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And she who believes in him is not judged. You hear me? You put your trust in Jesus and you're not judged. He who does not believe has already been judged because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Listen, they're already reaping the consequences of a life apart from God. Listen, you don't have to do that. You don't have to live apart from God. There's no reason to. Your absolute best, your highest and best is found in living for him. And if you know that to be true, if you've put your trust in Jesus and you know the better life already has been yours and is yours, bang your hands together. Amen. And see, folks, that's the proof. It's not just my word, the preacher, but it's their word, the body of Christ. And I can tell you that same life can be yours. If I had everyone here give a testimony today, if I had you come up and I said, just tell me five good things that God's done for you in this last year, every person to a T would be able to name at least five things that living for God has done in their life. How many can say that about life apart from God? Verse 19, and we're ending with this. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. Why is it that people don't want Jesus to be Lord of their life? Because they know that that Jesus represents light. And I don't want light being shown on what I'm doing, because as much as I tell you that what I'm doing is okay and I'm okay with and I don't mind, I have people tell me this, I know I'm going to hell and I'm okay with that. No, you're really not. You're putting up a front and it sounds good, but the truth of the matter is, when you lay alone at night, you lay in a pool of sweat most of the time because you're scared to death of what's going to happen and what's coming at the end of all this. And there's no reason to live like that. Listen, I'm going to prophesy again. I'm going to speak clearly. I'm going to reveal things that have been hidden. When you're apart from Jesus, you are in a continual state of fear. Now, you block that fear out of your life most of the time. But I can tell you that when you are apart from God, you've been made, you've been created, you've been designed to be in deep, intimate relationship with God. And when you're apart from that, you know that something severe is missing. And you know that the end that is coming, whether it be close or far away, is not good. You also know that if you walk with him, a greater life is ahead. The only thing stopping you is you believe for some reason that holding on to those deeds of darkness somehow make you feel better or more comfortable. And may I suggest to you, that is so not true. The aching that you feel will leave. The fear that you fear, that you feel, will be gone. The anguish, the dread that you've been walking in. If you give your life to Jesus and he begins to wash you, the dirt, the filth, the stench of the earth gets washed away from you, and your sin becomes white as snow. It's what he does. It's his deep, deep love for you that he has done any of this. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought in God, or having been birthed in God. All right, stand up with me as we close. Jesus, I am so grateful that you wash us. Those of us that are willing to be called by your name, those of us who have called on the name of the Lord have been and are being saved. We're being washed. There's no dust that can stay on me. There's no dirt that can remain on me. There's no stench that can remain as you wash me. And Jesus, I'm so grateful. Holy Spirit, I'm thankful because Jesus did that for me. You lead me. You tell me to go left or right. You tell me when, hey, that's not love. Instead, do this. Hey, that's not how to talk to your wife. Instead, do this. Hey, I know you're concerned about your daughter. You're concerned about your son, but instead of just worrying about it, do this. I know your work isn't going quite the way that you thought it should, but can I tell you what to do? I remember one time, the one business we have was just really struggling. And I was having a staff meeting, and I just paused the staff meeting. I said, guys, I just got to stop and pray because I don't know what to do. And can I share with you, that's the most brilliant place to be. Pride says, well, I have to know what I'm doing. But when you're following Holy Spirit, you don't have to know. You just have to be known. And he knows you better than anyone. He knows your situation. He knows your business better than anyone. And so I paused and I said, Holy Spirit, what do we do? And about 15 minutes it took me to sit there and just wait on the Lord. Because it says in the Word of God, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Because I felt weak at the moment. They'll renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and never faint. After about 15 minutes, all of a sudden I went like this. I went, I got it. And they're like, yeah, okay, right. I sat down. Actually, we had an ink board, and I just started writing. That plan carried us for the next 5 years. We wrote more business in that next season than we had ever written before. And I'm telling you that because I didn't know what to do. And that's not a bad place to be. There are many of you right now, you don't know what to do. You've got a situation and you've beat your head against that situation so many times. You got a little bit of a callus right here. There's no reason to have a nasty callus in the middle of your forehead. Instead, just pause. If you don't know Jesus, ask him to be your Lord. Don't mess around with that. And then Holy Spirit will lead you. And you'll see every good thing take place. Will there be struggles? Yeah. They'll make you stronger. Will there be trials? Yep. But you'll be found just in the midst of those trials. Will you find people that don't love you? Yes, but your love will grow because of it. Whatever darkness means for your damage or your demise, God will work out for your best. He's just really good at that. So to wind this all up, you can trust him. But you have to put your trust, like we talked about last week, in him. Just bow your heads for a moment. If there's anyone here where you're just saying, hey, I need Jesus to be Lord of my life. I don't think he is right now. I've never asked him to be Lord of my life. If you have asked, he is. You just got to let him wash you daily. But can I say, if there's anyone here and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, just with every head bowed, just if that's you, just lift up your hands to God and you say, hey, that's me. And if you're watching or you're listening, then just respond to God. Just lift your hand up wherever you're at. If you're driving, don't lift up both hands, please. You say, but I trust God. Yeah, I know. And he trusts you to put one of your hands back on the wheel and open your eye up. So look, if that's you, then just pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life as it is right now, and I receive your new life. I'm asking you, wash me. You be the word to me and be the water that washes me. I'm asking you, just cleanse me right now and let your light shine into this dark place. And right now, as you're speaking, I'm telling you, every crack in your life is opening up. Every door is being thrown open. And there's some places that you have to give Holy Spirit access to. But I'm telling you, as you open up the doors of your life, his light shines and his goodness comes and his water washes. And so I want you to just pause right there. You say, Jesus, thank you for coming into my life. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you come into my life. I want to be born in you. I want to be baptized in you, Holy Spirit. And I receive you. Come. Because I want to live from heaven to earth. Listen, if you're listening online, by Facebook, whatever, podcast, if you're watching, could you please send us a note? You can check out citychurch.us. And City Church of Connellsville, right? .us? Citychurch.us. Okay, that's our website. Just send us a note and let us know the decision you made. I personally would like to pray for you. And I would like to thank God for what he's doing in your life. Listen, if you're here and you just made that decision, welcome into the kingdom of God. Would you just welcome them now, church? Yeah, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, so listen, last word of instruction. If you don't, take time daily. Set aside time for Jesus to wash you with himself. Sit down with the word of God. But don't just read the word of God. Spend some time in the word. Spend some time in prayer. But just pause before the Lord and let him wash you with his goodness, with his word. He wants to talk to you. He enjoys talking to you. He enjoys when you talk to him. We call that prayer. Amen. So lift up your hands and let me bless you as I send you out. Father, bless them. Keep them. Make your face to shine on them. Lift up your countenance on them now and give them your peace and your grace. Help us to be washed daily with the word so that we can be led by the Spirit of the living God. City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find a easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.